Ms. Clark. I'm thankful that the Lamb is risen. Amen? Amen. Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 14 today, Luke chapter 14. And I'm thankful we've had in the missions conference, and what a blessing we had. If you weren't able to be here Friday night, boy, you missed it. Not only did we get filled at the International Fellowship, but we got filled from the preaching. What a blessing. Amen. And great mission conference, great into it, but still in missions month. And again, I want you to be able to, next week I'll try to take a little bit of time and speak about our card and the missions card and filling it out. Many of you, this is old hat to you. You've done it year after year, but I encourage you to really freshen it up in your own life. Walk with God, pray about it, make sure that you've heard from heaven, amen, before you pen down what you put on the card. I know this, that, you know, too many times in this life, sometimes we do things, and I'm thankful for doing things out of duty. Amen. Brother Hiles had a great message on duty. But I want to serve God out of love. And I want that to be the majority of my Christian life, to have served him with, I mean, just an open heart and loving God and serving him that way. Sometimes we have to serve in duty. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes we don't want to, and sometimes we're in a low place. We're going through the valley ourselves. But if we work at it, if we prepare ourselves, if we encourage ourselves in the Lord, like David said, we can serve him out of love, amen? And that's where, that is such a mountaintop experience, to be able to not only make your promise in love to the Lord in missions, but watch him answer it back in love, amen, and give through you. This morning in Luke chapter 14, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ here, and much of it is red letter. He is speaking a parable, and he really is giving earlier in the chapter, so I'll give you a little bit of background. We won't read the whole chapter this morning, but he's giving a parable there, and he's trying to teach, and he often taught. And I know a lot of people like to quote a lot about how he said that the poor you have always with you. And then he talked about, you know, keep it talking about himself. But Jesus, so many other times in the scripture, was given and gave commandment and was saying, go to the poor, the halt, the blind. Even in his own personal ministry, much of his ministry was to those folks that were street people. People that, because of some physical illness or ailment, he needed to reach out. Much of the recorded miracles we have in Scripture are going to those people. But Jesus wasn't just given to the poor, the halt, the blind, but to the middle class, to the rich man. Jesus came and died for the entire world. And here in the Scripture, he's trying to teach a point. And like so many times, if you've ever taught a class or been in a college class, somebody, instead of asking a question, will throw out something, and they want to make their point. Amen? You know, I mean, even though, I mean, we got a great college down there, but you know, every once in a while, we get a knucklehead that comes through and doesn't realize that the trap should be closed for the most of it, and the ears open, right? But they're thinking, instead of listening, their mind is going so they can get their 2 cents in. You ever, you know, the peanut gallery can't wait, right? Maybe that's why I don't like boiled peanuts. I don't know. Anyway, so. But again, you know, we come to this place, and somebody is like that here in the Scripture. They've heard what Jesus has said, and rather pondering that and deciding how they can apply it, and trying to say, how is this going to affect me? He wants to teach too. Look at what he says. He didn't ask a question in verse 15. And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus had taught about those that he wanted to see there, those that wanted to go out and feed. And just again, in the parable just before, and this is not a wrong statement by any means. But again, when probably he should have been listening, he was speaking. Maybe he wanted to hear Jesus teach on it. And like many college students, sometimes when they shoot out something, they get an answer, and sometimes it ain't always the one they were looking for. And so Jesus begins to teach on this subject. Here they're sitting at meat. And I don't know about you, but I was taught when you sat down to eat, it was time to eat. So you could get back to the work. I remember my wife had to teach me a little bit to slow down and enjoy. Because I was taught to get it in and get out, back out. That's what I grew up on the farm, and eating was something that you had to do. It wasn't something you sat and took time to enjoy. Amen. It was something that, it was sustenance, move on, right? At supper time, if there was a crack of light left, and even if there wasn't, you got back up and you went back after it. Amen. And so here we see that Jesus is there, and I'm sure wearied from the day, wearied from teaching, but somebody is looking to be taught, even though they really don't know it. I want to preach a message this morning for the Tate Room and for everybody this morning. I want to preach on excuses. Excuses. Jesus is going to bring out of this passage of Scripture three excuses that are given by those that are bade to come to supper and what they give. And I just wanted this morning to preach excuses. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Dear Lord, I pray you help me this morning, Lord. I know that your word here, Lord, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you'd use me as your messenger boy. What a great truth is found here in the Scripture. Help me to, Lord, I pray, just use my words, Lord, but that, let them be your words. Let me be yielded to you to speak what you'd have me speak this morning. Lord, just use me as your messenger boy to speak the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke 14, the Lord Jesus says in verse 15, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife. And now this guy should be excused. Anyway, so, and another said, amen. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He knows that they have already taken his excuse, right? He doesn't say, excuse me. He said, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I believe there's a great lesson taught, but even more a great missions lesson. And I do believe, and I'll just make some introductory statements to say that I do believe if the one of the greatest reasons that missions is not as great as it has been, maybe in the early 19th century, is because of excuses. Not only of those that would be called to go, but because of those of us that send. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Excuses. An excuse in the 1828 dictionary is to pardon or to justify self. You know, we hear excuses every day. Now, almost every year, at least once a year, my preacher that I grew up under would preach a message somehow titled in excuses. And I can't help but not do what I was taught to do. How many of you listen to Gospel 90.3? This will not sound anything like that. Y'all heard this song on there? Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day, right? And the devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away. When the people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Now, there's all kinds of things that are on here. In the summer, it's too hot. And in the winter, it's too cold, right? In the springtime, when the weather's just right, you'll find some other place to go. Folks, it's not much different than when I see the excuses in here, is it? They have some other place to go, something else to do. How about the benches are too hard? The choir sings too loud. Boy, you know, I get so nervous in that great big crowd, right? Now, the song goes on to say you don't have any problem at the ball game, though, right? How about this one? The preacher, he's too young. Or that preacher, he's too old. The sermons are not hard enough, and maybe they're too bold. I like this one. His voice is much too quiet. Sometime he gets too loud. He should preach with more dignity, or else that preacher's way too proud. Well, the sermons, they're too long, and maybe they're too short. He ought to preach the word with dignity instead of stomping and snorting. Right? That didn't rhyme at all, right? Well, the preacher we've got, he must be the world's most stuck-up man. Because the other day, a lady told me that he didn't even stop to shake her hand. Right? Sometimes, I mean, listen, and then they go back into excuses. We hear them every day, you know, but this is just about showing up at church. And so I'm preaching to the choir this morning because you're here. Right? So it's good to play the song on the radio with all those words, but maybe we ought to write some other verses in for ourselves. Because just like those that maybe you've stopped making excuses and you showed up at church and you come to the building, you've been in here, and way too many times we look for the pat on the back rather than look for the other excuses that we make in our lives. Maybe the excuses we make on why we can't be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we make excuses because of, you know, age. We make excuse because of many things, don't we? But this morning, I want to preach a message. You know, I really believe that what hinders missions the most is excuses. You know, God is so good throughout his word to tell us just how much, if we'd give to him, he'd give back to us. That he wouldn't be a beggar. He's not, no man, he's not going to owe any man anything. All right? And so God, I believe if there was anybody that we could trust, is there anybody that we could take at his word? We took him at his word for salvation. And that covers our eternal destiny. So why wouldn't we take him at his word about our money? Why wouldn't we take him at his word about our time? Why wouldn't we take him at his word about our talents? I want you to see here in the three, just very quickly, I just want to point out some things in the scripture. I want you to see here, he begs them, he says, come for all things are now ready. Well, what things are ready? You ever think about that? Everything's ready? Well, for us, if we put it in context in the New Testament age, you realize Jesus is speaking this in an Old Testament economy. They're looking forward to a cross, and friend, I get to look back at it. When I preach, come, because everything is now ready. Everything has been done. The work of salvation. The victory has been paid for. He's think about this. He's pardoned my never dying soul if I've accepted him. Not just pardon me, but how about this? If you think about, I have peace within. I have peace of mind today. That I know that I'll never spend one second in a devil's hell, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. Amen. Come, because all is now ready. There's pardon and peace for you. Come. He's not only given me that, but he's given me the power to live the Christian life. In the Old Testament, folks, they kept the law to try to do right and to be righteous according to the law. Today I have a power that they didn't have. The law had no power. It showed them that it was a schoolmaster to just mark them down. Do you know what kids oftentimes, when they complain about their teacher, when I listen to our teens and the kids in grade school, they talk about their teacher, they're like, I heard one of them just yesterday. I just thought it was so funny. Amen. And I'd call out the teacher, but I don't want to throw them on the carpet right here in front of everybody, right? They were like, It still cracks me up because I was one of those teenagers one day. Remember, you know, I say one thing. Ah, that's your warning. Ah, that's demerits. Do you know that's what the Old Testament law was? Over and over and over again, always marking the bad, but never marking the good. You know, this week we had them all gathered up in this place, and brother talked. He talked about how many got saved. Brother, that was a blessing to me to be in here and to watch the sea of hands go up once again. They've been in school a good while now, folks. But to hear people that are going to go out and take the gospel to other places, just a little different. And to watch those little hands raise, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me, preacher. And for their teacher to be able to take the time that they needed in their classroom. Folks, we want to know what's different about a Christian school than a public school. Education is paramount in a Christian school and in a public school. But here, education of salvation is paramount over reading, writing, and arithmetic. Because I will never put reading, writing, or arithmetic over a child's soul. Because what good is a head full of knowledge going to do in a heart that will spend eternity in hell? Amen and amen. Power. Power to live. Folks, this Christian school, what a blessing it was. But you know what? I stood all these folks in here and I'd say, you guys did so good today. And you say, you were mocking them. No. Do you know we were having fun and I smiled real big and they smiled back. And I even looked at the college all in a bit. I said, college, you did so good today. Folks, I don't know about you, but you know, if all we ever get is marks against us, we don't get excited, do we? Do you know, I loved it when my mom and dad would say, you did good today, boy. Because there were plenty of times that I didn't do good. And they marked them, and I felt like they marked them every time. But you know, when I became a parent, I realized it was sometimes my parents let some of them go. You know? Like every time they walk in and the room's dirty, stays dirty, don't it? Tell mom, dad, say, man, you got to get this dirty hole cleaned up. But what a blessing it is when you come in and say, hey, it's wonderful. You did a good job. You cleaned it up. Now, it's all jammed inside the closet, but you did a good job. Right? But how is that any different than us in the Christian life? See, if it wasn't for Jesus in the Old Testament, all they kept doing was jamming their sins in the closet. Over and over and again, they were still all there waiting to be paid for, but Jesus came and paid for them just like he said he would. Covered them with his blood. But what a blessing in the New Testament to know that my sins are gone. Yes, my sins are gone. You know, these guys, they come, for all things are ready. Not only do I have power to live because of the Holy Spirit, but there is daily provision from his word to be had, to be encouraged and to live on the top side of this thing, not to live under the circumstances of this life, of all the political battles and all the things that rage every day and have raged throughout every age. But every day I can wake up and every morning his blessings are new every morning unto me. There's power to live the Christian life and to be what God wants me to be, not because of who I am, but because of who he is, because of what he's done, because of his word, and because of gospel 90.3. Listen, folks, even sometimes when I leave his word, it's told me about something I need to fix. But boy, I can turn on that music and that sweet, that spirit. Maybe my spirit ain't quite right. And that beautiful music about what Jesus has done will come and settle my soul and say, God still loves you. His mercies are new every morning, not just his blessings. Folks, I don't know about you, but I come, for all things are now ready. What an age we live in to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that, hey, nothing needs to be done. It's a late hour. Come, all things are ready for Jesus to come back. He says here, look at this. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. I'm not going to read every one of them, but let me just say this. One of them bought land, and he says, I must go see it. Now, we could talk about the silliness of buying a piece of land you never looked at before. But how about this? That sure looks like the lust of the eyes to me. How about this one? The next one says, I bought some oxen and I must go prove them. I must go do this. I got to touch it. And sure, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. I gotta go and touch it. How about the third one? I married a wife. Therefore, very matter-of-factly, wasn't it? I cannot come because she said I couldn't. Right? And we laugh about it, but think about that. The pride of life. He doesn't even try to make excuse. He says, therefore, I cannot come. Like it's a rule of law. Like obviously everybody knows this. I don't even need a pardon or to justify myself because this is how it is. You know, that's the pride of life swelled up. Because that's the way it is. Folks, you know, there's too many things going on in the world and there's too many things that Christians are accepting in our day and age because they think that's just the way it is. This book says just the way it is. This business about gender, that you can alter it or change it after God said it, boy, that's the pride of life. Man thinks he's pretty. He's something, isn't he? After Almighty God put his stamp on there's male and female, and then we're going to come up with another gender. Amen. We don't even do a good job of making cars. Hey, folks, come on now. He says all this, and he comes down to this. He tells them, think about the missions. Go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. What do we do when people reject the gospel of Jesus Christ? What do we do when people make excuses? Well, number one, I can tell you what happened when I made excuses to my parents. How about when you have supper time at your house? When mama's got it on the table and it's hot and ready to go, and you begin to make excuses why you can't come to the table, she gets, I mean, you know. The Bible says here that the master got angry. He got upset. He had made a supper. He had prepared everything. Everything's ready to go. You know what? I'm going to come in my own time. Doesn't that sound like the Laodicean church? I'll come in my own way. Doesn't that sound like religion of the day? I've married a wife. Therefore, that is where we live. We live in a day and age where everybody is justifying their sin, justifying themselves. And it has permeated the truth, the true church of Jesus Christ, to the place that we're not going to change genders. We're not going to put up with that. We're not going to change the foundational things. But when it comes to missions, you know, I mean, we've let the world creep in on us enough to change our mind about just how much we think we need to stash back. Just what we think we need. We let Fox News encourage us. You know, I guarantee you, listen, if the... I'm going to make somebody mad this morning, and I'm not meaning to do it. But I mean, I watch commercial after commercial. Amen. Of folks that I'm diversified in gold. If I believe in this building, if people just dumped out the precious metals that they either have in their house, on their fingers, or they're laying around in your car or in your little jewelry box, and I know they all have sentimental value, but would you want anybody going to hell because of that? Amen. Just the precious metals, and you can't take it with you. If the world got so bad, who in the world is going to trade a turkey for a gold coin? You've lost your stinking mind. Well, you should diversify into oil. Well, most people don't want to walk, but try to eat oil. Amen. I've siphoned enough diesel fuel and gas, and preacher ought to have a good laugh. Here he was with me one day when I got a good gallon of it. Woo! My wife didn't want to get around me for a while. Amen. I had an exhaust. Amen. Hey, folks. We've come to the place where we've let the world permeate our thinking instead of trusting in a good God that says, all things are ready. I'm on my way back. All the things have been paid for and I'm ready to come back. Why would we hold back when he's ready to come back? When we're waiting on the last soul. Folks, I'm telling you, we've come to this. This is, think about this. Look at this verse with me. So in verse 21, he says, so that the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go quickly out into the streets and the lanes of the city. Bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. He says to him, come. Go out quickly. Tell him to come in. Everything is ready, right? Look at this. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. As thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Boy, the command, listen, even though there's so many people in the building, we can't get satisfied at home or away. Brother Mullins has said, boy, there's hardly any room to put them in the church. What do? Get another place. Open another one across town. Send them around the outside. The cross isn't full. The blood isn't done and expired. The preaching can still be heard. You say, preacher, I don't know. Yes, come, because there's still room. You know, isn't it a blessing to realize, yeah, everything is ready and Jesus is on his way back, but there's still room for you. There's still room for you. Oh, God's calling me to be a missionary, but the hour is late. There's still room for you. I've heard preachers say this over and over again. It's never a waste of time to sharpen your axe before you go out and cut. But if preacher could come up and testify, I guarantee you he didn't think that he would go 50 years in the pulpit before Jesus would come again. He surrendered thinking, the hour is late, but I'll give what I can and what time I have till Jesus comes. And folks, do you know how many generations of people realized that everything was ready and that there was still room? And some made excuses because Jesus was coming again and the hour was too late, and they watched their life pass them by, and what God called them to do, they never spent their time doing because Jesus was coming.
That's good. Yeah.
Hey, folks, don't let that lie stop you. I let that lie stop me for a while. You say, when did you get in? I mean, listen, I came to Bible college at 30. You say, what are you doing now? Everything I can. And listen, folks, I can spend myself day after day after day, but I can never give the decade of my life that I held off to the Lord. I'll never get to spend that for him. I'll never get to go back and rework that and spend it. I can only spend today. I can only give my all today. I can only give my everything today. Hey, folks, God didn't call you for everything and every. Just be faithful and stand today. If he comes back today, good. We'll all be better off, wouldn't we?
Amen.
Say, who will have heard? Listen, think about this. Come. Come. Look at the scripture. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Not just that there's room. What is the command? God said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Folks, I don't know when God's going to say it's enough or if heaven will be full. But my command is to go until the house is full. And not the church house, but heaven. And with Jesus as a builder, he ain't quit building yet. He hadn't put down the hammer. Because when he puts down the hammer, he's going to come home and get us. He's going to come and take us home to be with him. You say, preacher, think about this. I wrote this down. For those of you that love the Lord and you'll tune in and listen to about three more statements, I want you to hear this. Where there is only excuse, there is no escape for the lost. Where there is only excuse, there is no escape for the lost, because they have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where there is only excuse, there will be no reward. I would hate to spend my whole life excuse after excuse after excuse, and then only to try to tell one more when I stand before my Savior. And I promise you this, the Bible says that I will give an account of my life to Jesus Christ. What an account that would be if I had to, listen, people, we're going to tell on ourselves. He's just going to tell us, you tell me everything. And just like a good computer that saved it all, we're just going to dump it all out before him. And wouldn't it be a shame if what God heard from our lips was, I spent my life making excuses. And that is the record of your service to him. I spent my life making excuses. Lastly, I'll say this. Where there is still excuses, there is still room. As long as we're having excuses, there will still be room. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Folks, I believe in the New Testament age that God is so good that in a place like this, we can never win enough folks to fill the building up where we can't put them in. Because by the time we win them and disciple them, people will be going out to get more people and compelling them to come in, and there'll be still room until Jesus comes. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, when we get after it and the building is packed and people can't get in, people will be going out to get more people to compel them to come in. They'll be going to foreign lands. God has always sent his people and called them out of busy places that were packed out doing the work of God. Every one of those places are sending people out. You say, preacher, are we still sending them? It's not because the church isn't willing. I believe that the age we live in, and it's not because God's not calling. It's because people are making excuses. I can't go because of this. I can't go because of this. Why? When I played football, it was never enough to stand on the sideline. It was never enough to watch the game that I love be played. I wasn't going to make excuses when the coach said, Parsons, I want you in the game. There was no excuse. My helmet was already on, and I was ready to go in the game. Hey, folks, as Christians, in this missions conference, this mission month, if God calls you, no matter the age, God knows how old you are. God knows what your ability is. God knows what your capability is. And if he calls, let me ask you, or if he has called, are you going to continue to make excuses? When God touches your heart about what you ought to give, will God get what he asked you for, what he wants to give you to give back to him, or will he get excuses? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, and you know that if you just trusted in Jesus Christ, you could be saved, what will God get this morning again from you? Will you walk down an old-fashioned aisle and accept Jesus Christ, or will he get more excuses on why you can't be saved this morning? With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? As the musicians come, if God spoke to your heart, why don't you come and deal with it at the altar instead of giving excuses this morning? Dear Lord, I pray that you just be with the message. Lord, I know that you laid this on my heart. I know that this was probably tough for some to hear, but God, help us not to continue to make excuses, but to trust you in all things, to do your will, to see the gospel of Jesus Christ go around the world until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. If God spoke to your heart, step out and come as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come.
With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, and Christians praying, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as Savior. You know, when you stand before the Lord Jesus, if you're not saved, you'll stand before Him at a great white throne judgment, just before eternity in a devil's hell, a lake of fire that burns. That's where you'll spend eternity without Jesus Christ. And you'll say, no one told me. Oh, folks, if you heard the message this morning, you realize that Jesus saves, and you will be without excuse. So Brother Bird will sing another hymn for you and ask you to come. This is an invitation for you to step out and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you step out and come and do that while heads are bowed and eyes are closed as Brother Bert sings?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
This morning, if you're here and maybe you've been making excuses, you know, one of the best things that you could do, maybe it's about service. Maybe it's about, why don't you just come and get honest with God? Not try to justify yourself anymore, but just tell God who He already knows you are. And you and Him get on the same page. You say, I need to surrender. No, you know, sometimes we just need to get in the mirror of the Word of God and recognize who we are. And then we can step off from there. Then we can begin to surrender. But until we're honest with ourselves, God can't really speak to us and send us until we're honest with God. Today, I don't know why God had me say that or who it was to, but I'm going to let Brother Bert, with heads bowed and eyes closed, you pray as Christians. We have somebody that we have to announce this morning, but would you pray that God would speak to hearts right now? If you're not saved, this is your opportunity to step out and come as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. We have something to share with you. Maybe